This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. IWAU, spelled I-W-A-U, stands for Inspiring Women Among Us. It's a series of events held nearly every year right here in Prince George, BC. Finds attendance both locally and outside our fair city. If you're noticing inequality amongst gender, amongst identities, within our community, or just greater society, IWAU, held across town in both in-person and virtual formats between November 22nd and 29th, is a great place to find out more about this and to learn what you can do to make a difference. Speaking with us today is event co-founder Zoe Miletus, who also holds an associate professor position in geography, earth, and environmental sciences at the University of Northern British Columbia.
Just so we nip any confusion in the bud, Inspiring Women Among Us is not for women only. It centers women because women are often not centered. Women and other underrepresented groups or politically marginalized groups or groups facing undue oppression. But it is an all-gender series of events. And the emphasis this year is on getting people thinking about actions they can take to support equity, social justice, diversity, and accessibility, whether it be little things that you would do every day or big things or groups that you can connect to. Again, you find your own way, but the idea is getting people building on the conversation with action, action to back your inclusivity.
So if we're interested in advancing feminism and or addressing patriarchy, learning more, and building community around these topics, IWAU is the place to go. This is where you can find your people and learn more.
Yeah, and the idea is that you decide how you want to engage. And also we try really hard with all of our wonderful sponsors and partners to include things like food and fun and celebration, because thinking about gender, the gender spectrum, gender relations can be quite somber, and sometimes it should be. But also there are kind of easier, more approachable, bite-sized ways that we can all get involved. And we also know that this is a time of year where student loans start running out and people can need an extra little boost. And so, again, if you want to come for the muffins and coffee, by all means, come for the muffins and coffee. The door is open.
It's a great policy to have. So people talk about, is feminism still relevant? Why are we continuing to pursue this? It seems like we're in an equal society, but here we are. We've got an entire series of events surrounding addressing patriarchy and the inequalities that still exist. What's the goal of this year's event series?
Yeah, so I think our goal every year is to inspire and unite people in different ways to continue the conversation, because inclusion, equity, and just, you know, better relations between all of us are aspirational goals. So we should never say, oh, good for us, we're done now, on to the next thing. It is a bit of a moving target. We're always understanding things like the gender spectrum differently, as we should. And if things are dynamic, then we still have work left to be done. Also, I can use examples from my own sphere, academia. We know now that there are typically more female undergraduate students than male. Sadly, we don't track our non-binary and trans folks very well. There's all kinds of barriers to collecting better data. Some people are trying, but it falls down to the binary most of the time. So we know that women have increased in the ranks at the undergraduate level. We know now that in many programs, they are also higher than the percentage of men enrolled in graduate academic programs. It's even the case at PhD, depending what we're talking about and where. So the numbers have gotten a lot better through all ranks of study before doctoral graduation. But when you turn to the ranks of faculty, we know that there are still high levels of attrition or decline as you move up through career ranks. And so even though there are many more full female professors than there used to be, let's say even 10 years ago, the numbers don't correspond to the people that start out in each cohort. So that means there are still significant barriers and systems that are excluding people differentially across intersectional lines. And gender is a big one. And especially if you think about how race and class and gender might intersect in a so-called merit-based system, we've got a lot of work left to do. So yes, you know, we've come a long way, baby, to cite an old cigarette slogan, but we have a lot of work left to do.
Right. And something I'd like to emphasize is that this series of events is not just open to students, but it's open for everyone in the community. Whether you're simply a community member who's at home thinking about all the complicated ways in which this world operates and you'd like to know more about it, understand how it operates, I was a great place to access this. But also if you're a business owner, a small business owner, whether you're on a corporate board, we're looking at the composition of boards of directors, even at the nonprofit level, where we think of these things as being more equitable across the board, it still isn't necessarily the case. And this is a great opportunity to learn why that is and also start to make the changes and put action behind these directions.
Absolutely. Come for the reason that is pushing you to come. So if you are curious, come for curiosity. If you want professional development to do with equity, diversity, and inclusion, come for that. We have several really well thought out, expert informed workshops that would cost you hundreds to thousands of dollars if you paid for them on your own that are included in the program. And we fight hard to get the funds to pay for these things. And the reason we do that is so that no one else has to pay for them. So that if you are starting your career mid-level or wrapping it up and you want to stay current, doesn't matter. All of you can come and take our workshops, particularly since some of them are online or hybrid. That's one of the things we decided to keep as we are emerging from the COVID-19 era. So it also now allows us to stretch our budget. We have people who are joining us from the UK. We have people joining us from the US. Last time we held it, we know we had participants from different states and provinces. And so we've decided this as a conscious choice to spread the opportunities and keep the costs on our side. And that is to increase accessibility.
This is one of the great advancements that we've come across in the last few years as we've been able to bridge these gaps across time zones, distances. A curious thing, though, why Prince George? Why would Prince George? Like, we're at the outpost in, you know, the middle of the boreal forest in northern Canada. Why would we need a series of events that focus on addressing patriarchy and feminism?
Yeah. Well, first of all, everywhere needs feminism. Nobody has conquered the patriarchy. Second of all, why not Prince George? I mean, we'll tell you a little secret. There are a lot of closet feminists in Prince George. So maybe they won't buy the T-shirt. Maybe they won't even say the word out loud. But they might be union members, and unions fight hard for equity, accessibility, and diversity. They might be in the trades, and we know that there are a lot of layers of programs to encourage better representation and uptake in the trades, which we all need. We need tradespeople. And yeah, Prince George is also not the Prince George from 50 years ago. Everything around me tells me that Iowa's success is thanks to being in Prince George and to all the community buy-in we've had from the city, from the school, from random community members. And that's why we keep it open and accessible to all. That's also why we have the celebration and fun aspects, because who would go to a week of dusty, dry, academic, alienating talks about feminism? I'm not even sure I would go. I much prefer to do some crafting, eat some muffins, and chat with my neighbors and friends and, you know, share stories and learn together.
The urgency aspect. What's filling up quickly? What do people need to register for so they don't miss out?
So we actually don't need people to register for anything. Again, that's one of the barriers we reduced. The only one that has limited entry, I believe, is the Art Night with Psy, which is always really popular. So it says limit 20 participants. That's on Saturday, November 25th. And not just because of a supplies side issue. I'm sure Psy would love to host, 200 people, but there's only so many sparkles and seats and whatnot. But the reason we don't limit or encourage registration is because we want to welcome the person who decides on a whim. We want to welcome the person who suddenly has a free hour. We want to welcome the person who, for whatever reason, doesn't feel comfortable registering. So in terms of urgency, again, choose to your needs, choose to your interests. Maybe you have some professional requirements that you can easily fill for free, so look for that. But the first one we always like to stress is the commemorative ceremony for the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women. So that would normally be held December 6th, but we host it earlier with the Northern Women's Center and with College of New Caledonia, who is actually the site hosting it this year. So make sure you note that it's down at the Gathering Place, but at CNC. And that day is for general reflection on the state of gender relations and gender-based violence. And those statistics are still grossly slanted towards violence perpetrated both against men and women by men. So if you doubt it, look it up, send me what you find. But to improve gender relations, we need everybody. We need men and women and non-binary folks to stand side by side and think about what we can all do better. Now, that ceremony is on the last day of Iowa. It sort of acts as our de facto closing ceremony. So it's on Wednesday, November 28th at 11 a.m. And I will say that people who notice who's there, so just know that even if you just stand there, catch some of it and tune out, but you are a man, particularly a man in a male-dominated field, there are likely women in your domain who are seeing you there, noting that you've taken out time out of your busy schedule to attend and that this is on your radar. This is not a day only for women to participate. This is a day for everyone to think about what needs to be done in Canada and beyond. And of course, for those of us old enough to remember the Montreal Massacre, and I should say that I'm from Montreal, this is a really important day because we think about the colleagues that we could be sharing the halls with right now who were gunned down, and were specifically gunned down for being women in science. That's actually what the shooter said. So a powerful reminder during my lifetime that has been repeated several times in Canada that we need to do more to make everybody feel welcome. And I should also add that if you feel like the pressures put on men are too much, like if you worry about conforming to gendered ideals about strength or income earning or power or dominance, then you should really come to Iowa, because it means that you are being oppressed by the patriarchy and warped gender-related assumptions and expectations, and you are really welcome. And you are right. Men have unfair burdens placed on them. So let's come and talk about that.
Glad you brought that up. Patriarchy does not just oppress one gender. It actually affects everyone. And again, Iowa is a great place to learn about the nuance of this and how to address it. In reference to the Montreal Massacre and violence against women, we see that activity ebb and flow. It hasn't gone anywhere. What are your thoughts on why that might be? What's creating this pushback?
I know that people are feeling more at risk and potentially under threat. We also know that there are rises in things like anti-Islam sentiment and anti-Semitic sentiment as well. So there are forces preying on existing tensions to try to turn them into rifts, to really divide and conquer, so to speak. But I think that we can take this as a reaction to progress and a reaction to kind of an awareness that demographics are shifting, that mainstream values are supporting equity, diversity, and inclusion. And so people on the extreme ends don't like this. It doesn't fit well with their agendas. Another thing to say is sometimes, especially if folks don't engage with equity, diversity, and inclusion, they don't learn about it, they don't read about it, they don't kind of try to see it from different perspectives, they will fall back on the pie perspective, that if some group over there gains a slice of pie and then keeps fighting to increase their slice of pie, that somehow my slice of the pie is going to be negatively impacted. And over the literature proves it's not true, that everybody wins.
There is no pie.
There is no pie. Do you know what is that saying? The rising tide lifts all boats. That if we make the world more accessible, we all get to benefit from the infrastructure and services and accommodations. If we pay women more, that's not like women just take that extra money and spend it on exclusive women-only type things. The money goes back into the economy and benefits everyone. So I think on my good days, I think, you know why the fringes are getting cranky? Because of all the progress and forward momentum. So I think that's really important. And also, if you feel yourself being pushed to the margin and you want to understand where your anger is coming from, again, come and listen and learn and just remain open. And you might learn something about your own feelings that you didn't realize before.
Right. The door is open.
The door is open. It's not about keeping anyone out. It's more about having an expanded conversation and bringing people together to think about things. So even for a lot of the remote sessions, you can come and listen in a room with other people and maybe have some coffee. And so the idea is, too, that people shouldn't have to do all this learning and work in isolation. They should know, oh, wait a minute, I was in a room with 20 other men in Prince George who said they were interested in this. So maybe I'm not as isolated or as strange as I thought. Turns out there's a whole bunch of folks like me. If anybody wants the full schedule, go to www.iwau.ca. There are also posters all around campus and around town. Just get in touch. We'd love to hear what you think after the event. So if you go to an event and you learn something new or you take something to your workplace or you try something out in the home, please, get in touch with Zoe Miletus or Annie Booth or iwa@unbc.ca. We have a lot of events, and we do that on purpose because we want people to find whichever door or path into this conversation that interests them. But what we don't want people to do is get crushed by Iowa. Look at the full schedule, choose two or three, however much time you have, whatever fits with your goals, personal development, CV building, finding community, you decide. But please do not get crushed by Iowa. It's supposed to be something happy and bright in a dark, cold time of year. And we don't want it to crush anyone.
That was co-founder Zoe Miletus. Again, the Iowa, or Inspiring Women Among Us series of events, will be held November 22nd to 29th in various locations around town, UMBC, CNC, online, and more. Visit iwau.ca for more information. You can check out their socials on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program.